May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, it feels like I haven't been here much in a while, staying home, taking care of Olivia, so it's good to be back in the saddle. Some people get bored with routine. I've been longing for routine lately. Song of Solomon is one of my favorite books. For some, it's not, because it's so metaphorical and in a poetic form. But essentially, very simply, the Song of Solomon is about a believer among other believers who've chosen that their purpose in life is going to be pursuing, manifesting their union with Christ as much as they possibly can, to go as far as they can go in experiencing all that he is and manifesting all that he is. Every Christian is born in union with Christ, but not every Christian grows very much in manifesting that union. And that's the Song of Solomon. So there's this journey that's kind of described, and failures and discoveries and all that goes with that. And chapter 2 is the first chapter that kind of describes a dip in this Shulamite's form and their pursuit of manifesting Christ-likeness. And by not responding to the Lord, the Lord's calling this believer, the Shulamite, to a place, and the Shulamite is slow to respond. And there's just some cool dynamics that go on with that. But the chapter is the first place in the Song of Solomon that describes a place of failure, we would consider spiritually. But when you get into chapter 4, Christ, Solomon, who's the Christ type in the scripture, he just begins to praise this believer, even though they just have experienced failure. And he begins to praise the budding virtues of Christ that he's seeing emerge in her life. He's blessing her, or blessing, I can use the word her because it's Shulamite, but he's blessing this believer. And I don't want to get bogged down in the weeds with all that, but it's some really cool stuff. But it's encouraging to me that, and we were talking about that a little bit beforehand, is that in the midst of failure, what he did see is a believer's heart. And he's just blessing and reminding this believer of all these emerging virtues that he's seeing and letting her know that imperfect love, he counts still as true love. One of the things that the enemy tells us is that if we blow it, that we really don't love him, it doesn't really count. But the Lord counts our imperfect love as true love to him. And he celebrates that. And he's a lot more patient with us than we are with ourselves. And so in this little section of scripture in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, he's just using different terms to, again, bless this believer, this one who's signed up for the journey to surrender all, to go after Christ with all her heart. And when he gets to the end of this place of celebrating and affirming, calling forth the new creation that he's seeing manifesting, her response in verse 6 is a response that's a couple of times in the Song of Solomon. And without getting into too much details, it just says, "Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense." And myrrh in the Song of Solomon speaks of death, and frankincense speaks of resurrection. And her response to him blessing her and affirming her and praising her in light of her failure, her response is, "I just want you to do more in my life. I want you to put to death more things. I want you to expose anything that would cause shadows. I want to see more resurrection life manifested." Instead of her response being, "Oh, that's so wonderful that you feel that way about me, that's great," it provokes her, his grace provokes her to just want to go farther. And it's in light of that disposition, it's in light of her response of saying, "I want to go back to the cross. I want to experience and manifest more of the resurrection life, but I got to go back to the cross because the Christian life is always a down and up life." And the Lord deals with us. We go to the cross. Then there's new, fresh manifestations of resurrection in our lives. We sort of do that journey every year through the Lenten journey. We end up at Easter. this down and up life. And in response to her saying that, instead of just relishing his praise, it exposed once again that this believer is really signed up to go as far as they can go in manifesting their union with Christ. He then says this, "You are altogether beautiful, my love, and there is no spot or blemish in you." I've loved that scripture because it kind of reminds me of 2 Chronicles 16:9, when the Lord's speaking, he says, "The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone," I like the way the King James says it, "whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf." The New American Standard uses the phrase, "whose heart is completely his." And the thing I like about that, it says, if God can find a heart that's completely his, that's perfect towards him, then he'll show himself strong on their behalf. He didn't say, "I'm looking for somebody whose walk is perfect towards me," because none of our walks are perfect towards him. He didn't say, "I'm looking for somebody with perfect theology or with perfect answers." He said, "I'm just looking for someone whose heart is perfect towards me." When God chose David, it says he was anointed by Samuel in the midst of his brothers. And these brothers, and of course, David wasn't even invited to the party because he was the least likely to succeed in the family. He was watching the sheep, so the dad didn't even invite him. But he invited all these brothers to come, and their names meant, like, the first one, he wanted to choose Eliab because Eliab reminded him of Saul. He was big and strong and athletic. The next one he wanted to name, then his name in Hebrew meant personality, somebody with a great personality. And the third one, the idea is that literally the Hebrew is all together. He's just one of those guys who just had it all together, you know, just the go-to kind of guy. And when they got done, God said, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And then when he was done, he looked at the father, and he said, is this it? Aren't there any other kids? Because he knew he was supposed to be there. He said, well, there's one. And God picked him and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the word David just means to boil over. David had a heart that boiled over after God. Now, did David always get it right? No. But it did say about David that he was a man, what? After God's own heart. And I love what Acts 13 says. Acts 13 says, in describing what that means, it says, David was willing to do all of God's will. Did David always do God's will? No. But he wanted to. It was the desperate desire of his heart. He was a man after God's heart. When the Shulamite fails, the response of Jesus was to bless her and praise her of all the good things he's seen coming forth from her. Her response to that is she longs to experience more of him and for him to apply the cross to any area that would hinder love in her life towards him, to separate her from anything that would cause shadows between them. And that heart he responded to by saying, you are all together beautiful and there's no spot or blemish in you. That's what he sees as perfection. God's not a perfectionist. But when he sees a heart like that, doesn't have a perfect walk, but a heart that just wants him more than everything else, he celebrates that and says, you're altogether beautiful. There's no spot or blemish in you as far as I'm concerned. And that's the heart of our Lord. That's really who he is. We don't treat each other that way often, but this is how he sees us and celebrates us. Because he can do something with a heart like that. So much so that I'm grateful that when I blow it, God doesn't go off in the room and pout, hide behind some cloud and pout for a while. Sort of the one last thing that the Song of Solomon, that the Shulamite says to him, is hurry, my beloved. That's a heart that's been cultivated by the grace of God. Been cultivated by one who didn't give up, and even when they blew it, just kept affirming all the good things that he saw. so she'd get up and go at it again. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.